My name is Sally Knocker from Meaningful Care Matters. And in this little film, we're going to look at the concept of purpose, living life with purpose. I think purpose means something to all of us, whatever our age. Sometimes it's hard to define what it means, but let's have a look at it. I want to start with my mum. She's in her 80s, and she's recently, very sadly, lost her beloved husband, who lived with dementia in a care home in the last year of his life. Now she's lost him. She spent so many years supporting, loving and being a very devoted wife. She's struggling with things to do in the day. She's not sure what her purpose is anymore. It's a very hard time for someone who's had so much to do in relation to caring and now has big gaps in her life and in her day. I can relate in a very different way to the last year, having been much less busy during the pandemic. I'm a really busy person. I love to be active. I found it hard not being around people as much, not travelling as much. But what's really helped is us getting a rescue dog from Romania, lovely Daisy. And in the last year, she's given us structure and purpose in our day, getting out for lovely walks and helping her to settle and feeling loved and needed by a beautiful dog. For many of us as we age, there are many losses and changes in our roles. Our children grow up and they move away. And when we retire, suddenly all the social aspect and the routines associated with our job are lost. Some of us find that really hard, whilst others really enjoy the new opportunities to find new interests and cultivate old interests as we have more time on our hands. So what is purpose? It's defined as the reason for which something is done or created, or for which something exists. Put more simply, it's the why we are here. And finding our why, our reason for being, can involve looking inwardly for some people. If you're a spiritual person, it can be an inner search. But for others, it can be a more external search, looking for a sense of worth and meaning in the things that we do and the way that we occupy ourselves. The phrase to serve a purpose means to have a use. This lies at the heart of the search for many people living in care homes. We want to still feel needed and useful. And we see this in the person who's nurturing a doll like a baby. That deep instinct to care for another human being is being fulfilled when we hold and love the doll. The role of a good butterfly worker is to nurture this sense of purpose in all the people we support. Finding things to do in the day, folding the laundry, feeding the fish, watering the garden. These may seem small things in themselves. But for that individual who is asked, can you help with this? Immediately, we feel a sense that we're needed, appreciated and useful again. An example, Ken, a man who used to be a security guard, living in a care home in Edmonton in Alberta, Canada. He's going around the home, checking all the doors. In some care services, Ken's going around and rattling doors might be seen as a behaviour that needs to be managed. But in this really great care home, they understand that Ken used to be a security guard. This is a key part of his identity, to be respected and valued. So they give Ken a clipboard and a floor plan of the building so he can go round and check all the doors one by one. And at the end, he signs off his job for the day. A similar story in a care home in Devon, where I worked. Marion, who used to be a housemistress in a boarding school, goes round closing all the curtains in the building throughout the day. Again, the care home understand that this is a job she used to do and invite her help at the end of the day in closing the curtains as the night time draws in. Both of these show real life examples of how the care workers, the nurses, the support workers have understood that these are parts of these individuals carrying out the things that have meaning and purpose for them. So in the next two little extracts of film, we're going to meet Bernie and Chris. Bernie caring for her husband, Hussein, still at home, in the advanced stages of dementia. And she talks about how remaining active, singing and being creative, and including Hussein, her husband, in some of these activities, has helped give her a sense of meaning and purpose. And how she wisely understands that actually she needs Hussein just as much as he needs her. And then we hear from Chris, living with dementia, who lost her job because of an early onset of dementia, and has found a variety of creative ways and contact with nature to really help her enjoy a sense of meaning and life worth living with her partner. And what's important for Chris too is to be a campaigner, to make a difference for others. Because she lost her job early, she still needs to feel purposeful and busy. And we see that in the role that she takes in making a difference for others living with dementia.
The only thing that's obstructing us is the weather. When it's summertime, we're having a great time. Now, of course, the COVID, and really I didn't feel so lonely because everybody was locked in. But had that happened...
That's interesting. So you felt like other people were experiencing what you were already experiencing.
Exactly, you know, and that was weird experience that I wasn't, and then I didn't have to travel, so I've been connecting with lots of activities, lots, you know. I do the singing, then whenever I'm invited to concerts, like yesterday I was with the Arts for Dementia concert, that was gorgeous. Yeah. the carers group meetings, what else do I do singing with two choirs, because I'm that kind of person. And hence, I was bringing Hussein to all the activities in the initial stages, you know. So we did the Arts for Dementia, and they did invite us to the Opera House. Wow.
Lovely.
To do a dance performance activity. And then finally to top it off by Christmas, watching live the Nutcracker, you know. Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, and then
you've tapped into lots of lovely cultural activities in terms of the arts. Yeah.
And then we used to go to the Wigmore Hall and do singing there, which lights our spirits up, him and me together. And that's what going. It's only since last October that Hussein is like housebound and chair bound, but we can still take him out when the weather's good. We take him in a wheelchair, we can take him to the restaurants, we can take him to even to see the Christmas lights. But because of the vulnerability with COVID, we are not doing any of that really.
Yeah, that's really made the world a lot narrower for both of you. Yeah.
Exactly.
You've mentioned the singing and things, Bernie. I mean, how do you take care of you in terms of, you know, you've said it's hugely stressful and tiring for you. What do you think is the most important for you in terms of your own emotional sanity, if you like?
Well, I was doing, until the lockdown, and it started again, and it's locked down again. I was having massages because I was having really bad back and neck pains, and that comes from, you know, stress of jaw pains. And then I have a lot of friends I connect with on the phone, but I do less of that now because I realized that my friendship was basically holding other people. You know, and then I found that out through counseling, would you believe? So yeah. I offered counseling and I found that exactly.
You realized it wasn't necessarily very equal in terms of what you were getting from the friendships, you mean?
Exactly. But years ago, I just went along with it, you know, because I might have admired the talent in you. And so I kept going just holding on your issues, etc. And that was a kind of friendship. And I've had this friendship for years. I'm going back 30, 40, 50 years, yeah? And some school
friends. So has it made you really evaluate the friendships that really are the ones that are worth keeping, in a sense?
Yes. And you know, the ones I have to communicate with are the ones that are going to give me joy and happiness, happy times. And that is what I get from, you know, singing. And I do Pilates and I do Qigong. So that helps my pain and aches and things like that. So that's the way I keep going. But previously it was massages and reflexology and all of that, because I'm very much, I believe in all of that, you know.
And the power of touch. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So, Bernie, it sounds like, yeah, I mean, it sounds like, well, because of your therapy background and everything, you have an understanding of keeping your own emotional health at the forefront, because obviously you can then care for Hussein better if you're better in yourself. But it's hard, isn't it?
It is hard. But I did, you know, previously people would say to me, Bernie, you need to look after yourself. And professionals would do that. And it wouldn't make sense until I start thinking, yes, I do need all of this, basically, because making me feel better enables me to look after him better. And I did experience that, because there was a time when I was really losing it and I just could finish off with this whole story, you know.
From a point of view of feeling quite resentful that your life had been taken over and things? I think a lot of spouses say that, don't they, that it's
not so much, you know, because our love is so strong. And he does give me a lot of love, but I had to go deeper into that and think, is it him needing me or me needing him? And it felt like both.
I went through this phase when I wouldn't leave the house and wouldn't do things, it was my 18-year-old nephew that gave me a lot of support, a lot of help. And he said, come on, Auntie Chris, we're going for a walk. Then he'd take me to the supermarket. You push the trolley and I'll go around, because I had a panic attack once in the supermarket because there were so many people.
Is there anything that's helped you with the anxiety side of it? Have you used sort of, you know, any of the kind of relaxation-y exercises or any of that? You mentioned you're doing some painting. I mean, I think that's a really good one, isn't it?
Yeah, and a walk by the sea. I love the sea. Anything outdoors and in nature, I love. And yeah. One thing that has been really helpful is a pilot course that we've just been on, and it's just finished. It was called Wellbeing in Nature.
Lovely.
And once a week for 10 weeks, we go for 2.5 hours out to some woods.
Lovely.
And we had a woodsman with us, a chef, a cook, and a lady who was an occupational therapist. And we used to make things with wood. We'd cook things, we'd light fires. Now, these are people living with dementia.
Lovely.
They allowed us to
old-fashioned, you know, kind of whittling and all that, yeah.
Whittling, they allowed us a blade, they allowed us to light fires and cook marshmallows on the fire and things like that. And we made things, we made a jam, and the cook there made us cake, actually on the fire, the log fire. And we made whistles and a birdhouse.
And was that a charity that ran that, Chris? Where did that come?
It's called Circles of Life, I think the charity is called.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was set up with NHS England. So they had funding to do a trial run. And honestly, everyone I've spoken to with dementia said, I want to do that.
Brilliant.
And I think there is such a lack of activities, meaningful activities,
yeah,
for people living with dementia to do.
Yeah.
I don't want to be sat, you know, sat in a room and be played Vera Lynn songs. God rest your soul, Viva. But
we do love her. Yes, we need more variety in life, don't we?
Yeah, yeah. And another friend of mine with dementia, she's doing all sorts of crafty things.
Yeah.
And for Remember Sunday, she was painting poppies on pebbles, and then she was putting them back on the beach. So Heather and I did that.
Nice.
So it was fun because we went looking for poppies. We went looking for pebbles, not poppies. And then, you know, I got all the stuff and we painted the poppies. And for Remembrance Sunday morning, we took them back to the beach, and people were just taking them, you know, or looking at them.
Lovely.
I love doing crafts, but I'm I need a bit of motivation sometimes, I think. Yeah. My mojo's gone.
But what I love about that pebble story, Chris, is it reminds me of the way that you are as a person, that you put stuff out there that sort of creates some positivity for others, which is obviously something yeah. you've always done in your life, but even more so now in your sort of dementia campaigning.
Mm. I think that we all need to raise awareness of dementia yeah. and understanding. And until my dad had dementia, and I think a lot of people think this way, they think of a person sat in the corner, not communicating, and that's what everybody with dementia is like.
Yeah.
And they don't understand that there are different stages of dementia, and that, you know, people like me, we can live relatively well.
Yeah.
And I want to do as much as I can whilst I still can. And if I can help one person to not to have to go through some of those awful things that I went to, it's all worthwhile. And I can remember I was given a talk one day, and this lady came up to talk to me afterwards, and she said, "Thank you ever so much for telling my story." I said, "I didn't tell your story, I told my story." And she said, "But mine's exactly the same."
Wow.
And she said, "I've never been able to put it into words, so thank you for telling my story." And the tears were running down her face. And it's giving me goosebumps now just thinking about it. And there are people out there who haven't got a voice because they can't maybe express themselves or say things as they are. And I'm a bit of an open book. What you see is what you get with me. Sometimes I put my foot in it, but generally speaking, you know, because I'm an ambassador for Alzheimer's Society now and the Lewy Body Society. And that means a lot, because it means that I must be doing something right. And the main thing is we all need purpose in our lives.
We do.
And when I lost my job, I felt useless after my diagnosis and losing my job. And I felt hopeless. And now doing the things that I do, I've started to feel useful and hopeful. So
I invite you at the end of this film to think about purpose in your own life. What gives you meaning? What helps you feel valued and appreciated? And also to look at the people that you support. How much do you know them well enough to find the things to give them purpose and value? Thank you for listening.